But today I want to walk through the chapter 4 of Colossians. Turn with me, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That sounds like some turkey, right? Full of gravy, seasoned with salt. No, we're no more turkey, okay? I don't know about you, I'm kind of sick of turkey. Devote yourselves to prayer. Paul is breaking this down. We started in chapter 1, walking each chapter through. I love Jody's chapter 2, talking about our identity in Christ. Claire, you did a great job last week. All the sermons are on the website. You can take a listen as now we end with chapter 4. This is Paul signing off. This is Paul saying, here's a few last things I want you to grasp a hold of before this letter closes. Devote yourselves to prayer. The truth is, all of us are devoted to something here this morning. And if you would answer that question honestly, it may not be prayer. It might not be at the top. Some of us are devoted to making a living. There's nothing wrong with that. We need to provide for our families. Some of us are devoted to social media, right? Some of us are a little too devoted to social media. Some of us are overly devoted to eating. Some of us are overly devoted to wanting to be well-liked by others. And I ask, what are you devoted to? Don't be like me. See, I'm a real big Cowboys fan when they win. Come on, we got 3 wins. Who's excited? Right? Oh, we got 1. I mean, I'm excited. We got 3 wins under our belt. I can't remember. Last, what was it, 1990? I think I was 12 years old last time we won. No, I'm just kidding. But see, I'll bring out my old Dez jersey, even though he doesn't play for the Cowboys. It's the only jersey I have. I'll bring it out when we win on Thanksgiving, right? But see, a few weeks ago, we were losing. Boy, you couldn't find a Cowboy shirt anywhere out in the open in my house. You know, I wouldn't be caught wearing it. I'm one of those kind of fair weather fans. I like to watch the games, but I'll cheer when we're winning. Are we doing good? I'm a Cowboys fan. I'm kind of hiding in the shadows when they're not, right? Are you a fair weather fan? No. See, Paul tells us to be devoted. See, a devoted Cowboys fan rocks their gear when they're losing, when they got 3 games losing streak, right? A devoted fan watches every game that he can. He's going to cheer on the team. And it has nothing to do with the win and loss record. It has, that's my team. Some of you are like that. Some of you love those Cowboys. And Paul tells us to be devoted to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. Be devoted when all of a sudden things aren't going our way, to be devoted to God, to be devoted to what he's called us to do. It's not how we feel or how we don't feel. It's because, God, you sent your son Jesus just for me, so I'm going to be fully devoted. I'm going to be all in. I'm going to be maxed out. I know it's unusual. Turn to somebody and say, max out. That's maybe a weird thing to say. Paul is challenging us to be fully devoted to prayer. Can I preach about prayer for just a minute? Can I still tell you that prayer changes things? Can I tell you that this morning? Say, you know, I've heard that for years and years and years. We'll keep hearing it for years and years and years. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. We have to remind ourselves when we pray, we have a God who listens to us. We have a God who responds to us. And this prayer, this devoted to prayer, is not just a one-way communication. How many know it's a two-way communication? As we pray to God, as we bring our needs and requests, he's bringing answers. He's bringing provision. He's bringing the answers that we need. You may say, I got a scary health situation. We got a diagnosis. How many know health situations and diagnoses can kind of overwhelm you? You ever been there before? I mean, of all things to really rock you, it's really, there may be something in there. We're going to have to do some tests and let you know in 2 weeks. And that 2 weeks is some of the scariest times of our lives. We're like, you ever search the deep dark internet of WebMD and looked up some side effects and say, I have all of those. I don't even know how to pronounce that, but I think that's my diagnosis. It's interesting the way fear and uncertainty can just kind of just grow inside of us, and all of a sudden we're overwhelmed with diagnosis. That, and then we go to the doctor and says, oh, it's no big deal. It was a fingerprint on the lens. And you're like, I freaked out 2 weeks about this, about a fingerprint. But it's amazing the way our emotions and our physical can run away with us when we're not centered on prayer. Are you devoted to prayer? See, that in the disciples' life, this is what Paul is alluding to and referring to. See, the disciples' life and ministry would continue to prosper because of their devotion to prayer, building up the inner man. I have a scripture for you. I want to highlight it. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:19. This is something that I hope you read. I hope you referenced on Thanksgiving. This is a wonderful time. It's to be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, your version, some of y'all read out of some funky translations, right? Your translation may say in just the good circumstances. Is that what your translation says? Some of you are reading some translations that say just when all the bank account's perfect, right? And the food's great and my health's great and my kids are finally obeying, right? Or my kids finally left the house, right? Anybody had some guests on Thanksgiving? You're glad they're gone. It's okay, they're not here, so don't, yeah, there's a couple hands. You're not on video, so don't worry, nobody's going to see it. But Scripture tells us in all things, not just the good things, not just when things are going well, but to be thankful when things are going really, really bad. To be thankful when the diagnosis comes. To be thankful when you don't have the money to pay the bills. To be thankful when your kids aren't acting right, when everything's completely contrary from the promises of God. To choose to stop and be thankful. Whew. Prayer has less to do with saying the right words, and it has more to do with building and growing in relationship to God. If you're taking notes, it's something good to jot down. Some of us are intimidated to pray because we feel like we don't know the words to say. Some of us only pray to ourselves or under our breath. And then some of us just completely discount ourselves and we don't pray at all. We feel overwhelmed. We can't pray like so-and-so, so I guess I'm just not going to pray. See, here's what happens. People pray pompous prayers, impressing men, and not moving the heart of God. Can I say that again? Oh, it's a bunch of P's. Did you Peter Piper pizza? People pray pompous prayers, impressing men, and not moving the heart of God. It has less to do with saying the right words and more to do with opening your heart to our Abba Father, who is loving, who is close, and who is always working on our behalf. Let us always turn to prayer. When things in life start to overwhelm you, turn to prayer. See, it's natural and easy to turn to complaining. Anybody complain in here? Anybody know a complainer in here? Don't look at your spouse. It's easy to complain. Here's what complaining does. Complaining wants to find another partner, and then both of y'all be down in the dumps. You ever notice that? Somebody who complains a lot always tries to find somebody else they can complain to, listen. They just want somebody to hear how bad they got it, how horrible things are in their life. When life overwhelms us, let's take it to God in prayer. Amen? Paul says be devoted in prayer. We go on in this verse too. It says being watchful and thankful. What is Paul talking about here, being watchful? I think there's a few things here that Paul's alluding to. See, I was raised the right way. I was raised in a way that I still believe there's a returning of Jesus Christ coming back down for us who are believers. Amen? Anybody else believe that? That there's coming a day when we're not going to know when it is, like a thief in the night, all of a sudden believers will be taken to heaven. Amen? Amen. Jesus is going to come back for us. I still believe that. Amen. I want you to believe that this morning. I want you to not only believe it, but I want you to start living like it. I don't want to get somebody too excited in here this morning, but there's a song that I love to quote. It's called Live Like You're Dying. Don't get too excited. Don't start saying, we're not Rocky Mountain climbing. We're not doing none of that. But I love this heart of this song. Why? Because let us live in such a way here on earth that we're ready to go at any moment. That we don't sit here and be tied by things of this earth, overwhelmed by things of this earth, because this isn't our home. This isn't a place where I'm setting up camp. I'm just passing through, amen? I'm going to be a good steward with my money. I'm going to be a loving father that's present in the house. I'm going to lead my children. I'm going to lead my wife. Don't get me twisted this morning, but I'm not going to be so tied to things here on earth that I'm not ready to see Jesus. Amen? Let's live ready to see Jesus. I think that's number one. What Paul's alluding to is be watchful. Number two, be watchful of the schemes of the enemy. Now, this will preach here. I haven't got to preach in a while, so I'm really, really, really ready to preach. Be watchful. Be watchful for the enemy. Here's what happens when we're not watchful. The enemy sneaks in. He sneaks in our minds. He sneaks in with little comments. He doesn't come and just invade the room. He doesn't come in and just say, I'm here. What he does is he sneaks in the back door and stands in the corner. And then he starts whispering things to us. And we don't even really know it's him at first. We don't even recognize the work of the enemy at first. And then all of a sudden we start aligning ourselves and believing the lie of that joker. And we start listening to him more than we listen to God. More than we listen to the word. We start listening and aligning ourselves with this joker. And all of a sudden, we don't realize it. He's taking full control of the room. And Paul's telling us here to be watchful. John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. I'm going to preach this until I can't preach no more. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not coming to play games. He's not showing up just to kind of mess with our children, just to kind of inconvenience our marriage. He comes to drag our children to hell and rip our marriage apart. Steal, kill, and destroy. What does God do? He sent his son Jesus to bring us life. To bring us life. Be watchful for the enemy. I'm reminded of 1 Peter chapter 5. Turn in your scripture with me. This is a good scripture to read. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Casting all of your anxieties on him. Anybody carrying anxieties this morning? It's okay if you don't want to admit it. You're anxious about admitting it. It's okay. But this is what I need you to do this morning. I need you to take something, a physical action of what God is doing in the spirit. You take it off your back and you throw it to him. You just take it and throw it. Casting isn't just carrying like it's a beautiful present that we've saved up months and months and months to give. Casting is like, yo, go out for a 40-yard pass and I'm going to hopefully not throw my arm out. I'm going to throw it as hard as I can. Casting means throwing. I have this awesome video. I'll repost it on Facebook so everybody can go look at my Facebook page later. My son, 5 years old, we went to Beaver's Bend. He had no idea what fishing meant. All he cared about was casting. I took the hook off of his line because he was scaring me. He'd reel it in so fast and pew, as hard as he could. All of us left him because he was scaring all the fish away. But it was a great sight, and I got it on video where he takes that little small Zeebo rod, and he just throws it as far as he can. All that's on the end of it is a bobber. And this is what I picture in my mind when I read this scripture. It's not just casually laying down anxiety, but it's physically casting it towards God in a violent motion that says, no longer will I carry this anxiety. No longer will I be weighed down by the pressures here on earth, because I realize I'm a son of the King I belong to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this earth. Now I'm here and I'm passing through. I no longer will be dragged to a place of bondage here on earth. Amen? Amen. Let's keep reading. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober-minded, be watchful. Here we are again. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. I found it interesting, this phrase of like a roaring lion. Anybody big fans of Lion King? Anybody like Lion King? Everybody sing the theme song, ready, go. Hey, da, da, da. You know, there you go. Anybody ever been around a lion? I mean, like voluntarily, not like you're made to. So I did a little bit of research on lions, and I just want to throw out some stats here, right? So a lion always roars before he bites. Isn't this good? He always roars before he bites. Now, a lion can be heard when he roars from 5 miles away. 5 miles away, you can hear it. Yeah, think of Lion King standing up on that rock, right? Remember Simba? Simba has a meow, you know, meow. And here comes Dad, right? And a roar can reach up to 114 decibels. Now, that's just below a jet engine and just above our uncle snoring, right? I mean, it's just above someone's son. Don't look at your spouse, right? All the women said, amen. You can hear a lion roaring. Here's what a lion does. He roars so that his presence will be known. He roars so that other lions will say, there's a bigger dude around town. I better keep moving. He also roars for all the lionesses saying, hey, girl, I'm here. He makes his presence known. He makes his presence known. Now, if we go back in the Old Testament, I want to talk a little bit about lions. Now, you remember Sunday school. You remember children's church. Daniel chapter 6. Anybody remember what happened in Daniel chapter 6? Daniel was a prophet of God. He was a man of God who could interpret dreams. This knowledge given from God, he could communicate what the kings, what the high-ranking officials were dreaming, and he could interpret them. And so Daniel, because of his faithfulness to God, found promotion here on earth in the kingdom. And he was being promoted after promotion after promotion. Anybody ever been promoted? And then you get someone mad at you, a little jealous of you. It's like, I worked here longer than you. Well, if you wouldn't have such a bad attitude, you might be promoted, right? Don't say that. Just strike that from the record. That should not be in there. Back to the story. So remember, Daniel was a man of God who was devoted to prayer. He would pray 3 times a day. Now, there were other jealous, high-ranking officials who tried to catch Daniel on something. His business dealings, they couldn't find anything wrong with it. But they knew he prayed 3 times a day. So what they did was they went to the king, Darius is his name, and he says, hey, you got to make a decree that no one else can praise any other god but you. And so what happens? Pride steps in. Darius says, you know what? You're right. People do need to praise me. Come on, let's make that decree. Well, he didn't know he was catching Daniel. He didn't know there was a trap being set. So what happened is now Daniel's in trouble. He gets brought before the king, and the decree reads, anyone who does this must be put to death. And so with a heavy heart, the king says, Daniel, you got to get thrown. Where? Into a den of what? Lions, right? What happens when Daniel's thrown in this den of lions? He's thrown in. They cover the top of the den. Everybody goes to bed. Daniel chapter 6 says the king couldn't sleep that night. He was tossing and turning. He ate too much turkey, right? Anybody had a hard time sleeping after eating all that food? Tossing and turning, could not sleep. Early the next morning, he comes down. Would you look with me? Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. Then at the break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and there was no harm found on him because he had his trust in God. I love this. Now, some theologians kind of estimate Daniel's age at about 80 in this time. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not 80. But if I get thrown into a den, I'm probably going to at least break a leg, right? Or try to catch myself and injure myself in some way. But see, the scripture says that Daniel was brought out. No, there was nothing wrong. No bruises, no scrapes, no nothing. Here's what that tells me is that God was already down in that pit waiting on him. Now, this will preach if you listen to me. He was there already. This didn't surprise God. This didn't alarm him. There wasn't an alarm in heaven saying, "Oh no, what are we going to do?" No, God knew and ordained all of this to happen. And Daniel still had to be thrown in that den, but aren't you thankful that God was there with him? Amen. This is such a good opportunity for God to build up our faith this morning. That God doesn't promise we'll never go through difficulties, never go through harm, never be around a lion roaring. But God promises he'd be there right with us. And that he catches us when we fall down, right? And then that angel stood Daniel up and said, "I got this. Just watch what the Lord will do." And walked over. Before the bite comes the roar. Those lions couldn't even open their mouth and make a roar, make a sound. All of a sudden they were like, "Here, kitty, kitty. Come on over, let me pet you." And remember, 1 Peter, where this all started, was scripture tells us that our adversary roams around, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I believe Daniel chapter 6 is foretelling the work of Jesus on that cross. That God sent an angel in the den. Aren't you thankful that God sent Jesus to defeat and destroy the work of the enemy? And he shuts that devil's mouth. He can't even make a peep. Can't even make a sound. Let your faith be raised today. Be watchful. Be watchful for the work of the enemy. I feel like this being watchful is something that we need to step up in. That we have faith. We trust in God. But now let us start being watchful for the work of the enemy. When the enemy tries to mess with our kids, we see it coming. We're there right there saying, "Oh, not today, Satan. Not today. You do not have access to my children because of the blood of Jesus." When he starts messing with your marriage, with your relationships, with your coworkers, with your boss, you got someone on your job lying on you. You got somebody on your job trying to set you up for failure. Don't worry. Rest and trust that God's got this. That he's already up in that mess. He's already taking care of business. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean he's not moving. Amen? Whew. Overcoming the enemy has less to do with our performance and more to do with our position. Has less to do with what we can do, how strong we are, how much scripture we know right off our minds, right that we can quote. Has more to do with our position in the kingdom of God. And you want to know how you overcome the enemy? It's found at the cross. It's found at the cross. The correct position is on our knees before the cross, surrendering everything to Jesus. Whew. I love it because we don't have to muster anything up. We don't have to try to fix everything in our lives. Some of you are fixers like me, and you just get yourself in more trouble. Have you ever had your spouse say, "Just stop and listen"? Okay, yes, I will. Stop trying to fix everything, right? Stop trying to find a solution to everything and just find your answers in Jesus. Being watchful. And then, of course, we end this section of scripture being thankful. Thanksgiving Day plus three now, I guess. Are we still thankful? Or now are we still complaining about things in our lives. Complaining about this, complaining about that. How about you? But sometimes we can run dry. We can run on empty. And we get to a place where we're like, okay, God, I don't even feel you anymore. I'm doing the things I used to, and it's just not working anymore. Let me tell you, to come back to a place of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving can unlock blessings and favor from God in our lives. And I encourage you to start counting your blessings every day, not just on Thanksgiving. I love it because we have a tradition in our home. We go around the table and everybody says what they're thankful for. I love to hear my kids say they're thankful for me because most times they don't say that very often. Most times they're like, okay, Dad, will you calm down and chill? Right? Come on, Dad. But to hear my kids say, man, I'm thankful for a dad and mom who love me, who pray for me, who encourage me. And to hear my kids say, God, I'm thankful for my church. Man, that will bless your heart. It'll bring you back to a place of realizing how God has really blessed us. Now, for some, we don't need double-digit multiplication to count our blessings. We can do it on our hands, right? I encourage you to still make a list and count your blessings. God, I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful that we can be in this service today, that I had a vehicle to get here. Your vehicle may be like mine, and the battery was almost dead this morning. We left a light on in my truck. But at least we still got here, right? I mean, at least we're still here worshiping and praising God. We need to stop and count our blessings. Whew. Let's move on. I love it because we provided these Thanksgiving baskets for families. You know, every one of these families that we blessed with Thanksgiving, they only took what they needed. They weren't greedy. They didn't take everything we had. And they were overwhelmed by how much we gave them. You know why? Because they're a place of being thankful. Some of us are so blessed that we're not thankful anymore. That we can provide for ourselves. We got so much toys. We have so many things to do that we find ourselves getting full. We're eating too much turkey, right? Some of you need to stop and say, God, thank you for the position you put me and my family in. Thank you, God. Paul goes on. Verse 3, he turns from a personal inner man of building. Now he starts giving us a clear mission. And this is where I want to end in this series of Colossians. I love this. And pray for us too that God may open a door for his message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. I remind you that the author of Colossians is not in the palace eating grapes. Whenever he wants. The author of all these beautiful words is locked in prison, getting beat often, stripped of any kind of convenience, but yet he still turns and tells us, be thankful. Man, this ought to move our hearts. He still says, pray for an open door. This is Paul, the apostle. He needs more open doors. I mean, God used him in a powerful, mighty way as a witness for Christ, but yet Paul wasn't satisfied. Pray for open doors. Pray for open doors. I pray that over our church, that we wouldn't just be happy and satisfied with one outreach event where we can bless families, but we start getting hungry. We start saying, where else can we make a difference? We start praying for God-opened doors. Not human, not our own strength, but God to open doors. I pray that in our personal lives, that we wouldn't just be satisfied with going to work, making some money and going home. I'm reminded every time I get so convicted, I stop and get gas. You ever looked around while you get gas at people, try to make eye contact? It's very awkward because nobody wants to make eye contact. Most people think you're going to rob them, right? Especially when they're right on the other side of the pump and you're like, you know what I mean? They're like, what in the world? What would happen if before we even get out of the car, the truck, we say, God, give me an open door. And then give me the guts to do what you're asking me to do. What would happen? What would happen in our goings and comings? Where we're always in such a rush to get home and get there, get back. What if we just take a minute and say, God, give me an open door? This is what Paul's asking all of us to do. In our goings, in our comings, let's begin praying for open doors. I love this. And then it goes on. Paul then says, pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Sometimes we just confuse it all. Sometimes we say 1,000 words when 10 words would work. Sometimes we think our redemption story has to be so involved and so overwhelming, and we get intimidated to even share it. Sometimes we just need to simple it down and say, this is what God's done for me, and I believe he can do it for you too. Can I pray for you? That's all it takes. It doesn't take a sermonette. It doesn't take you studying and going to Bible school for you to be used of God. Some of you are business owners in this place today. Thank you for being here this morning. I pray for you all often. I do. I pray for your influence. I pray that God would just continue to bless your business. Here's what I'm going to start praying now, is that he'd give you an open door. Every client you meet, every person you meet, to serve them in a way no other business can. And that's through the message of Jesus Christ. Don't be some super Christian and say, hey, let me just find a way to serve every client. Some of you have bosses over you that are not saved, that make your life very difficult. I pray that God would reveal open doors for you to serve your boss, not in a way looking for a raise or a promotion, but to serve a way to be a blessing. Pray for open doors. Pray that we would communicate it clearly. And as we close today, I want to remind you that Paul is saying all this as he's in chains. Paul's saying all this as he is bound for what he was sharing the gospel for. And let me just encourage you that if you face opposition, if you face persecution, let it not be a place where you stop and give up, but let it be a place where you realize you are in the will of the Father. And I'm going to press in deeper. And I'm going to follow through with what God's calling me and asking me to do. Paul tells us that he's in chains because of his faithfulness to the gospel. And that he knew that he ought to speak in a way that would make it clear and evident that he's ministering for Jesus Christ. Paul wanted prayer that he would continue to make the gospel clear and evident, even if it meant more chains. This is something that is contrary to the American version of church. That we think that when we come to Christ, everything is beautiful and roses. I can tell you, God brings blessings and favor. Don't get me wrong. But our home is in the home to come, not here. So your life may not be perfect. You may face job loss and difficulty, health scares and health concerns. And Paul is alluding here, saying, remember, the message of Jesus Christ is worthy of chains. It's worthy. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but willingly embrace persecution for saying and being a voice of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 and 6. Be wise in the way you act to outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer everyone. Will you pray? Let me pray this over you. God, we thank you for this message, this book of Colossians you've given us. And Lord, it all comes down to this point. It all comes down to us realizing our purpose and call here on this earth. It's not to accumulate material possessions. It's not to position ourselves for the favor and the applause of man, but it's to find those God-open doors in our lives to be used by you to be a minister of the gospel. We pray for open doors right now. We pray that you would open doors before us. God, I know you're opening doors all around us, but we pray for eyes in the Spirit to see them. We pray for the guts to step through it in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that everyone in this place, Lord, you would fill us with grace, grace that we can carry, grace this message of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask to be seasoned with salt that we may have an answer to anyone who asks. In Jesus' name, we ask for your empowerment.